We're in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 30 through 40, overcoming faith. If you would, stand for reading of the Word of God. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, and also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. This is the word of God. Please be seated. As you know, we usually do a review, but we will skip the review today because of time, okay? But anyway, I just want to remind you that the theme of Hebrews is the superiority of Christ, that Jesus is superior to any other way. And for these Jewish people that were wanting to go back, or not wanting to go back, they were being driven back from persecution into the old Jewish traditions, the writer of Hebrews is saying, no, don't do it. Jesus is superior to anything that you believe in, superior to the angels, superior to prophets, superior to the temple or the tabernacle, superior to the feast, superior to the law. Anything that you want to go back to is very much inferior to the Lord Jesus. And I can tell you unequivocally that Jesus is superior to any world religion or any other way because he is the only way to God. So with that stated, the next thing that we talk about as a theme of Hebrews is not drifting. Don't drift back to the world. Don't drift back to your old ways. Don't drift back to the old you. And then hold fast is the final one. Hold fast to the Lord Jesus. Now, we've talked about the Jews being persecuted and going back. We talked about people in this chapter 11 who have endured through all kinds of tumult, through all kinds of torture, through all kinds of difficulty. They made it through by faith, and the writer of Hebrews is saying, you too can make it through by faith. So this week we're going to be talking about overcoming faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time to study your word. Holy Spirit, open our eyes to truth. Soften our hearts. Help us to hear from you today the things that you want us to learn, and not only learn, but apply to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So remember, the writer of Hebrews is encouraging his people, this is the introduction, with examples of Old Testament champions who lived out real faith in impossible situations. Real faith. These were real people at a real time in history that walked this earth by faith and were overcomers. In verse 30 and 31, impossible situation faith. Impossible situation faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. So, in Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, you'll see the story of the recon mission of the spies. We don't have time to go there. I'll give you the crib notes on it. The story starts with two spies and the harlot Rahab. And harlot Rahab is in the city of Jericho. The spies are spying out the city of Jericho to see how well fortified. They know that it is fortified. Rahab is a Gentile. She believed in God and was saved. And she is in the lineage of Messiah. And I'll tell you, there's nothing new under the sun. Today, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. It's just that simple. Joshua sent two spies into Jericho to spy out the city. They were almost caught, and they sought refuge in the house of Rahab. So they go into Rahab's house, and then Rahab lies to save their hides. And she then asked for protection. You know, put a scarlet cord in the window and you'll be protected. But I want you to notice that she was a believer in the God of Israel, though she had no formal contact with the God of Israel. She said these words to the spies in Joshua chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. And she said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and the earth below. Rahab was a believer in the God of Israel. She did not care what her culture thought. She did not care about the false gods in Jericho and what the Canaanites believed in. She believed in the God of Israel. She was a believer. Now, I want you to think about something. Rahab believed when she heard about God. She heard about this enormous God that could do anything for his people, and she believed. Though a prostitute, though she had no social standing, she was immersed in a pagan culture with false gods. Now think of America, how it has become so pagan, and so how many false gods have been infiltrated our society. Think about this. Yet she believed, and she asked that her family be spared, and the scarlet cord is put in the window and she's spared. The influence, think about this, the influence of one and the salvation of many. Her family was saved. Brothers, sisters, mother, father, the whole family was saved. The influence of one and the salvation of many. Don't think that your input into somebody's life is insignificant. The influence of one person in any group can be significant. You stand for truth. You stand for truth. That's what we are called to do, to stand for truth. When God's instructions, now listen to this, when God's instructions do not make sense, and now we're going to talk about the instructions that he gave for conquering Jericho. It wasn't to take a battering ram and bust down the wall. They didn't have bazookas. They didn't have tanks. They didn't have dynamite. They had sticks and stones, and this city was fortified. It was huge. Listen to what it says. The city was fortified by double ring of walls. The outer wall was 6 feet thick, and the inner wall was 12 feet thick. And between those walls, they would build houses, and that's where Rahab lived. This was an inconquerable city by any human means, So listen to this. When God's instructions do not make sense to the world around you, obey them. Now, when I say God's instructions don't make sense, this contains his instructions. And this word does not make sense to the world around you. They look at you as strange and weird because you get up on a Sunday morning and you give up your coffee, you give up your recliner, you give up your golf, or you give up your fishing to meet here with other people, and they think that's strange and that's weird. I'll tell you, when it doesn't make sense to the world, we obey God no matter what. We obey his precepts, we obey his teachings, and we stick with him. Remember, followers of Christ, you will look silly to the world. Our belief and our values are anchored in this word, and are contrary to the way the world thinks. And I can tell you resoundingly that you, because you believe in this word, you can expect criticism. You can expect criticism. People are going to look at you as strange and weird. And in our culture, you are looking more and more dangerous because you have a biblical worldview that is contrary to the world around you. Contrary to the round. Look, we believe that God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, we believe that. Why do we believe that? Because God says it in the Word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. Real clear, nothing fuzzy. What does the world believe? It evolved. It just came into being over billions and billions of years. When you go down to you go to the Grand Canyon and you're on the tour, and the tour guide is going, look at all these things have been carved out over billions of years, and the guy's been indoctrinated into a worldview that is anti-biblical. And you just walk by this guy and you whisper to the group and go, great flood, great flood, great flood, great flood, great flood, great flood. That's the truth. You tell the people the truth in the culture that you're living in. That's the truth. We believe that God gives life and that God takes life. The world believes that you can take that they can take life. Abortion on demand, euthanasia, cloning. They want to make life. We believe that Jesus is the only way to God, and they look at us as narrow and bigoted and dangerous because we have a biblical view that Jesus is the only way. They believe there's many ways to God. Choose your road. With the humanistic viewpoint, people believe this. I am the master of my fate. I am the master of my soul. It's all about you. It's humanism, 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 and the flesh and the world applauds those types of things. And God says it's foolishness. It's foolishness. Folks, expect criticism. Jericho was a fortress. It was surrounded by an impenetrable wall. It stood through many battles. It was an impossible obstacle. But I'll tell you, God is the master at overcoming impossible obstacles. An impossible situation faith is needed to overcome an impossible obstacle. Always remember that. An impossible situation faith is needed to overcome an impossible obstacle. Our God is great at this. He is great at this. Joshua gets his orders directly from God. And we find that in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. Let me read this to you for time. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn. Now this would be a little scary moment, okay? But listen, he had drawn in his hand, and Joshua went to him, brave, and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? Now, listen to that statement. He's asking him a question. Are you for us or for our for the adversaries? Watch this response and tell me who you think this is. So he said, no. What kind of answer is that? That is a Jesus answer right there. This is a pre-incarnate Jesus. This is Jehovah Sabaoth, the God of armies. He answers no to a question that is not a yes or no question. Are you for us or are you against us? This is Jesus. He says, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. So he gives him information that he needs to know, doesn't answer his question. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, worshipped him, and said, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army, Jehovah Sabaoth, the God of armies, says this to Joshua, take your sandals off your feet, for the place you stand is holy. And Joshua did so, just like Abraham when he came into contact with the angel of the Lord in Exodus chapter 3. Folks, listen. The faith of Israel was a conquering faith, and they must have had a conquering faith and a faith in God. God would give victory over insurmountable odds. It is God who gives victory over insurmountable odds. Just indelibly imprint that in your mind. You're living in a culture where it's becoming more and more difficult to survive as a real Christian. God gives victory over insurmountable odds. We need a conquering faith. And I can say this unequivocally. When you feel overwhelmed by the world, be overwhelmed by God. Be overwhelmed by God. And if God is for us, how does it go? Who can stand against us? Zero. Romans 8:31. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 through 20, we see I'll give you the crib notes on this, the short version. Okay? Listen, the fall of the walls of Jericho is well known in history. Jericho was a fortress surrounded by the wall that I just described. How was Israel to take the city? It was humanly impossible. They could not do it on their own. But they trusted in God, and God was willing to give them the victory. He was willing to give them the victory. It was a matter of whether or not they would believe and trust God for the victory. God issued his command. Now listen to this. It always gets down to this when you're dealing with God. It always gets down to this. Will you believe and trust God regardless of the outcome? Will you believe and trust him regardless of the outcome? Look, we're praying for healing for my sister-in-law. We are believing God. She's in a very desperate situation. Very desperate situation. There's no hope possible, okay? She has had two open heart surgeries. She's in the ICU. She's been trached. She's got some all kinds of problems. Look, we are believing God that God will intervene in this situation. That's our job, to boldly approach the throne of grace and believe him. But we have to be satisfied with the outcome. We trust God regardless of the outcome. She's a Christian. She's going to escape here just a little bit sooner than us. Guess what? We're all following right quick. Right quick. We're right on her heels if she happens to go. But we're believing God will pull her through this. It'll be his miracle. It'll be his miracle. That's what we're believing. In Jericho, it was this. The people were to march around the walls of Jericho once a day for 6 days. Didn't make any sense. I imagine there were Jewish people that are going, what? We're supposed to take this hike? Now, there's 2 million of them, by the way. Remember, there's 2 million of them at this time, marching around the city once a day for six days. But on the seventh day, it's a different experience. On the seventh day, seven priests were to lead the march. And the priest had before them the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, which was a symbol of the presence of God. The presence of the God of Israel is with these people. And then the people followed behind that. And then there was total silence for the first 6 days. But on the seventh day, the people marched around. And on the seventh time they went around, it was different. Now, you think these people on Jericho, on those walls of Jericho, they're watching this. And they are saying something is different here. They got this little box that's in front of them. And they got these guys dressed up kind of funny in this priest garb. This is a different thing. Something's going to happen today. They're on guard, okay? Their suspicion must be aroused. And on the seventh time around, what do? The trumpet blows, seven trumpets, and the people were to shout as loud as they could, and the enemy would know, hey, this is it, they're attacking. And God said this, if my people did this, if they believed, the walls of Jericho would fall. And the citizens on the top of the wall of Jericho, can you imagine the whole city coming up and watching this event? There's nobody in their shops in the city. This is the nation of Israel traveling around them, and they know that something's up. And they're all on the wall. They're all on the wall. The point is that they had a strong faith in God. The trumpets blew. The walls fell. Remember this the next time you're in an impossible situation. The God of Israel can conquer any enemy. The God of Israel, he is for you. Listen to what he said to Moses. He said to Moses in Exodus chapter 14, verse 14, the Jewish people have been set free, remember? They're trapped at the Red Sea. And they're starting to murmur and to whine and to complain, why have you got us to this point? And Moses, the leader, says this, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. That's what we have to remember when our heart starts to churn and our inside starts to get mixed. And we are distressed and disturbed in our spirit. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still and believe him. Believe him. You don't trust the situation. Remember we said many times, I don't care what it looks like, sounds like, smells like. I am trusting God through this thing. Trusting him through this thing. This impossible situation, faith, folks, is for us today. They had it. These people in the whole chapter of chapter 11 of Hebrews had that faith, and that is the same faith that is available to us today. We need to walk in what we know. Remember, the walls came down by faith in God. The leader believed, the people believed in God, and I want to say this, please. We're living in a culture where it's so easy to be negative. Do not be crippled by the what ifs. Oh, I believe God, but what if? What if? And then you start your litany of things that could happen that start to steal your peace and your joy. Oh, don't walk in that. By faith in God, the impossible walls will crumble. Do not be crippled by the what ifs. How about the wall of relationships? We all have that wall. And we're trusting God to bring that wall down, to make that wall crumble. Husbands and wives, parents and child. How about the wall of health difficulties, finances, anxiety, churning, fear? Lord, you are the only hope that we have. You are in the crumbling wall business. I want to get in on that business. You want to invest in something? Invest in the Lord's crumbling wall business. Because he will make these walls crumble. We walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. Regardless of the outcome, I'm trusting my God. March with the Lord and see what he will do for you. The walls came down in Jericho. Rahab and her family were saved. And Rahab is in the genealogy of Messiah. She's a Gentile harlot in the genealogy of Messiah. Does God love all people or what? He loves us all. He loves people. Rahab the harlot is a picture of the amazing grace of God. Folks, anyone is savable. I will say this again in just a few minutes. Anyone is savable. Titus 2:11 says this, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Paul was a murderer. God saved him. David was an adulterer and a murderer, and God saved him. God's grace covers any and all sins. Rahab the harlot is a picture of the amazing grace of God. Grace that he extends to all humanity. Again, anyone is savable. Don't think that someone is too far, they're too bad, they're too this, they're too that. Anybody in any situation can be saved if they turn to the living God. The harlot, the derelict, the thief, the murderer, the adulterer, the liar, the drug abuser, the boaster, the materialist. God can save anyone. And remember how you know that? How you know that is because he saved you. He saved me. He picked me right out of the miry clay, just like he did you, set us on the rock, the Lord Jesus, and gave us a purpose and a meaning to life. When I was wandering around looking for everything to indulge myself, he picked me out of the miry clay, set me on the rock, the Lord Jesus, and he saved me. He saved me. That is a praise the Lord moment. Folks, we need impossible situation faith. Verse 32 through 35. Some have great faith victories, and I want to emphasize this, over their circumstances. Now, this is the group we want to be in. This is super group one. This is the group you want to be in. This super group one group. Listen to these guys. And what more shall I say to you? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, and of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith in God subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness, that would be us, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle. Don't you want that to describe you? Not the one running away, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. The women received their dead, raised to life again, and we just go, yes! Yes, that's what faith in God does right there. That is faith in God. We believe that. We believe that by faith. Sometimes, folks, your faith will produce great successes and great victories. And everyone loves this section. I love this section. The word faith people just dwell on this. They say stay right here. Okay, this is where they live. Success after success. But remember this. John MacArthur says this about these guys. All of the men listed in this verse held a position of power or authority, but none of them is praised for his personal status or abilities. Instead, they are recognized for what each of them accomplished by faith in God. By faith, it wasn't their persona. It wasn't that they were a king or they were a judge or whatever they were. It's they were praised for their faith in God, just like he does with us today. You find great favor when you have faith in God and trust him through your stuff. Gideon, I'll just give you a couple examples. Won't go through all of them. Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine press. Why was he doing this in the wine press? He's hiding. The Midianites are there. They're going to come and get your stuff. And God says, I want you to deliver this nation. And Gideon says, me? Just like he says to all of us. And we all go, me? Why don't you send somebody else? Call out any other name but me. Yes. He started with 32,000 and he ended up with 300 plus God. 300 plus God is a victory, folks. And he overcame the Midianites. He routed the Midianites by faith. Barak, he's an interesting guy in Judges chapter 4 and 5. God used him to save Israel, but he had to rely on Deborah. Deborah was a judge. He first wanted Barak to do it. He wouldn't do it, so he had to have Deborah come and the prophetess and give strength to him. And she did. And then he obeyed, and he had this conquering over Sisera, the commander of the Canaanites. Now, this guy had 900 chariots of iron. That's like 900 tanks. And you have pitchforks. Okay, 900 tanks against pitchforks and a massive army. And Barak believed God. He had 10,000 people. And with God, victory. And this is overwhelming odds victory. And we go, yes, yes, that's what we want. All are examples of faith. They conquered kingdoms. They administered justice. They gained what was promised. They shut the mouths of lions. Who did that? Daniel. They quenched the fury of the flames of the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember what they said? Remember what they said? We will not bow to you, Nebuchadnezzar. We will not bow to that idol. Our God will save us. And they said these three words. But if not, we will not bow. We will not bow to our culture. We will not bow to the lies. But if not, we will trust God, even if we die. They escaped the edge of the sword. Weakness was turned to strength, became powerful in battle, routed foreign armies. Women received their dead, Elijah and Elisha. All of these are examples of faith, all by faith, mighty victory after mighty victory. And we gravitate to these. Don't we gravitate to this portion of Scripture? This is what we love. It is the overcoming faith. It's over our circumstances, and that's where we want to live. We gravitate to this section of Scripture, and we go, yay, God. Go, God. Get them, God. And he does that. He does that. Romans 8:31 is true. If God is for us, who can stand against us? We've said that. How about this one? Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And we say these things. We believe these things. The word of faith teachers camp on these verses. Everything is great and wonderful and it's power, power, power. But I want you to think about something. Sometimes God will bring great victories over your circumstances like this section. Sometimes he will do that. But other times, you're Bible students, and you live in reality. Watch this. You being a Bible student have lived in the real world. There is another side of the faith coin. It is true that some have victories over their circumstances. But folks, you know, and we will see in just a moment, also true, there are many who have victories through their circumstances. And we will see those in verses 35b through 40. Others. Heteros is actually the Greek. Others. Heteros, a different group. Allos is the same. Heteros is different. This is a different group with a different outcome. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. Still others had the trial of mockings and scourging. Remember, words hurt as well as scourging hurts. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted and slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. They weren't group one people. God having provided something better for us, the Messiah, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Others, a different group, were tortured, beaten, some to death, because they believed in Jesus, Messiah. They were looking for a better resurrection. It was better to be with Christ. And guess what? If you're going to be suffer for Christ, you're going to die for Him, you're going to get a special crown. A special crown. It's called the crown of life. And I want you to think about this. Whether it's victory over your circumstances or through your circumstances, it is still a victory in God's eyes. It is still, and that's what counts. God's eyes. Victory in God's eyes. Think about this. Johnny Erickson Tada is as victorious as Daniel in the lion's den. She has lived her whole life from age 17, and now she's in her 60s, quadriplegic. And she is heroic as Daniel in the lion's den. God has given her faith to make it through her circumstances, not to overcome them. Okay, not over the circumstances. That's what I'm trying to get across here. God does not love group one, the success group, more than He loves group two, the persecuted group. He does not. Those who had great faith victories over their circumstances were in the will of God. And those who had great faith victories through their circumstances were in the will of God. Now think of this. Think of these people that had faith victories through their circumstances. They're way more than over your circumstances. Job, Jesus, Peter was crucified upside down. Polycarp being burned at the stake. The church in India being persecuted today. The church in China, Iraq, the Islamic countries. And it says here, the early church martyrs, the world detests these men of faith, and you know what? God applauds. God applauds. What happened when Stephen was being stoned? What happened in heaven? I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Not sitting in His priestly role. His work finished. Now He's interceding as a priest. He had Jesus' attention. I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand, looking at my servant. He loves group one and group two equally well. Those who have great faith victories through their circumstances, and we gave the examples. God is with you through your circumstances. The persecuted church knows this today. All these sufferings are terrible in our eyes, and many of them are beyond comprehension, And we would all like to be in the group one class. Folks, the goal is this, verse 39, a good testimony through faith. A good testimony through faith to glorify God in your circumstance. How could they possibly do this? How can you possibly do this? How can we make it through this way when we have to go through it and that's not something that's happening over it? Well, verse 40, God provided something better for us. And what is that? To look to Jesus. He's the one that brings salvation, eternal life. Jesus saves us. Jesus lives in us. Jesus is with us through it all. Jesus strengthens us. Jesus knows what it's like to be here. He has gone through everything just like us. He knows what it's like. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 says this. Satan has made war in heaven. See, Satan still has access to heaven. He still has to give an account of himself before God. And there will come a time in Revelation chapter 12 when Michael the archangel and his angels battle against Satan and his angels. And Satan's going to lose and he's going to be booted out of heaven. And he's going to be cast out. You know what that cast out means? Thrown out. Take him by the nape of the neck and throw him out. But he goes to earth. He goes to earth and what does he do on earth? He turns and he tries to persecute God's chosen people, the Jews and those who believe in Messiah. Watch what it says in 12:11. Those people who are being persecuted, those that his wrath is being poured out, Satan's wrath is being poured out. They overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, they're saved, and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. That's the attitude that we have to have. I do not love my life to the death. To the death. For the persecuted, no matter what, if you know this following verse, you will be a victor. Colossians 1:27. Memorize it, just a few words. Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you come to your last legs and you can't hardly stand anymore, you stand on this. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Knowing that you will spend eternity with him. Knowing that he has made a place in heaven just for you. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you so. And I go to prepare a place for you. That is personal. That he didn't say, I'm going to go prepare a place for all you 10 billion people. It is for you. Special. Special. You want a special architect? You got the creator of the universe making you a special room just for you. Remember that. And think about this. Group one people, the victory people, still face death. And at some point, they became group two people. You realize that. It's not always going to be overcoming. There will be a time when you will meet your last days. They still had to face death, the brevity of life here in eternity. They still had to have overcoming faith to the end. For both groups, it boils down to this. Life here will end. It is just a matter of how and when. It's just that simple. And at that time, you will cling on to Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hold firm to your faith. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Hold firm to your faith. Don't give up. Conclusion, overcoming faith. Never, ever forget this, folks. Never, ever forget. Overcoming faith walks by faith and not by sight. I believe God no matter what the thing looks like. I believe him. I trust him. Secondly, overcoming faith. Trust God through all of the I don't understands of life. Now, I will agree with you. That's where most of life is. I don't understand this, Lord. I do not understand what is going on here. But I trust you. I trust you more than I trust these circumstances. Overcoming faith knows this. God will give you victory either over the situation, and we all want to raise our hands for that one, want it over for that one, or through your circumstances, and we can give him praise for that too because he's given you the strength to do the impossible. Trust him. Still a victory in his eyes. All these examples of faith in Hebrews 11 are examples for us today. Overcoming faith knows this. Others have made it through trusting God, so can you. It is God who will strengthen you. It is God who will give you the ability to be still and know that I am God. It is his strength in you. You can't muster it up in your crippled condition. When you're on your last legs and you're at your weakest point, at least physically. Remember, though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary afflictions are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. I might be flittering away physically, but in my spirit I'm growing. I'm wasting, but I'm being renewed day by day. My God is with me to help me through the situation. And overcoming faith knows the righteous shall live by faith. And I want to submit to you, it's not an option. It's an expectation. Why? Because of the next statement. Overcoming faith knows without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. I trust him. Overcoming faith will, like those before us, trust in the Lord until I die. Finish strong. Finish strong. That's what we want to do. And finally, overcoming faith is available to you today. You must trust God, believe God, and live here with overcoming faith. And guess what? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can live with overcoming faith. You trust Him more than you trust your situation. That's the Word of God. You must trust God, believe Him, live here with overcoming faith, and our Lord expects this from us. You are His servants. Be bold. Be strong. The Lord thy God is with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time to study your word. Holy Spirit, we've gone through this at a pretty good pace, and I ask that you'll take what was ever said here and put it into the hearts and minds of your people. Lord, we know that you've given us your Spirit to help us walk through any adversity that we might face. It is on your strength that we lean. It is on you, God, that we depend. And we will trust in the Lord until we die. That is our motto. That is our promise. We can only do that through your strength. So Lord, fill your church with your strength and your power, because we sure need it in this time. For each person here, I don't know what they're dealing with today, what emotional travail has entered their life, but touch them in their area of need and help them to realize that you are there to help them through their situation. And who knows, it could even be over their situation where you miraculously change right before their eyes what's going on. We walk by faith and not by sight. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.